Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, joined by Michael Hamflett, though, to look ahead to SmackDown tonight and lots to discuss, Hamflett, mainly fallout from Money in the Bank. How are you feeling?
Broadly optimistic, actually. SmackDown had a real novelty flavour about it last week, with it being the show, the one, the comeback, all that sort of stuff. But Money in the Bank was... things happened, basically. There were consequences that had to be seen through on Raw and SmackDown as a result of things that happened at the pay-per-view. For all that, I think we've been broadly positive when it comes to the pandemic-era shows. Some have been atrocious, but there's been some that have had some pretty decent stuff on them. There hasn't really been, as much as we like to talk about fallout, there hasn't always been much of a thirst for said fallout. And yet, things occurred on SmackDown. Moreover, things occurred on Raw that, in the case of Nikki A.S.H., related to Money in the Bank, and in the case of John Cena, will relate to this show here. So it's just nice to kind of continue to ride the wave of, I don't want to just call it novelty, because that implies that everything will feel normal again in 3 weeks, and surely that won't happen. But it like just feels nice to ride this wave as long as we can. And in SmackDown, I guess it's for the second week in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Is wrestling good again, lads? It's basically my entire week. And like you say, John Cena popped up on Monday Night Raw to announce that he was going to pop up on Friday Night SmackDown and, deal with Roman Reigns, who he completely mugged off, I think it's fair to say, at the end of Money in the Bank. The intrigue here is less what John Cena's got to say to Roman Reigns. We know he wants a match with him for the Universal Championship at SummerSlam, because I think the technical reasoning was because Roman Reigns is an asshole, but still, it's more about Roman Reigns' response, which, I can't wait for, especially hearing that reaction to him last week.
Yeah, there's obviously two ways WWE could go here. One is that we get the inevitable graphic that we've pretty much all assumed from the second Cena's music hit at Money in the Bank. WWE, before even Roman Reigns has like come out to cut his promo, WWE gives us the old, it's official, and there's the graphic, and it's like, right, so we're working with a match then, are we? Because there's no rules to this universe and how matches get announced or agreed or anything like that. So there is, of course, that. Option B, and it's something I think I would prefer, is for Roman Reigns to say no. Roman, I thought it was notable that John Cena said it wasn't about the Universal Championship. And I'd like to believe in my heart, blackened as it has been by WWE, that was not just them forgetting that these belts matter and they shouldn't bury them in massive promos from the top stars. I would love Roman Reigns to make John Cena regret calling him an arsehole and saying it's not about winning the Universal Championship, because Roman can very simply say, I've got other business. I don't know if you noticed, John, but while I was away, while you've been away, I've been the head of the table. And this is not 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when you're telling me how to cut a promo, kid. This is a very different time. and this shimmering belt over my shoulder is what keeps you and everybody else in a job around here. So if this doesn't matter to you, then who's the arsehole? And you'll have to take your business elsewhere. Like, we really know why he's saying no. He doesn't want any of Cena. That's the subtext. But I would really like it if all of that was by design and Roman Reigns had the, as he always does, cowardice obscured by rationale, which has kind of been like one of the keys to the Roman Reigns character. Used very effectively until the bell rings when he unleashes those forearms on people's heads. But like used super effectively in the build-up is latent cowardice that he obscures with rhetoric and with ludicrous self-belief and with the sort of stuff that Paul Heyman is teaching him about how to be a carny in just business. Like, I would like him to push that back on John Cena and make John Cena rethink things slightly. We're going to get the match. Let's make it fun about how we get there.
Yeah, exactly. Whilst you've been out there driving cars, I've been at the wheel of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown and all of WWE sort of thing, basically. However, also, fallout from Money in the Bank, we are going to get an absolutely beautiful visual at some point with Roman Reigns flanked by the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos. We didn't see this coming at Money in the Bank, did we?
No. The Bloodline are Tag Team Champions. It's interesting this because it felt as though the Roman Reigns promo backstage with Jimmy and Jay was as much as WWE were prepared to do in terms of what happened with Jimmy was going to impact the real life storylines, I guess. That was as far as, like, they were kind of calling it out without calling it out, weren't they? And the Roman Reigns kind of turns to me and goes, and you, everything you've done. That was about as far as they were willing to go with it. So I'm guessing from that, we're led to believe that everything carries on as normal. Now, the Usos have won the tag team titles, but in doing that vignette, it kind of felt like they stripped the remaining agency out of Jimmy. I'm losing a little bit of faith in the idea that Jimmy Uso is playing a long game with the Roman Reigns. It's starting to look increasingly like, oh, it's just falling in line then. Okay, end of that. Like, bit of, like, Elite Hunter getting beat energy. Oh, do something else. Like, it doesn't, like, with them as champions, maybe they're just going for, like, that great visual, as you say, that top table of SmackDown, the sort of all the school bullies, like, holding court over this entire roster with all the gold. And what you do with that, of course, is that you book a load of six-mans between Cena, Rey, and Dominic versus the Bloodline on the house shows, which helps Cena shake off the ring rust. And you ultimately try and tease out the big SummerSlam rematch, the big night where Rey and Dominic get their rematch at SummerSlam, so that when Rey and Dominic lose, Dominic can turn on Rey with an electric chair and say, "Dad, SummerSlam, etc." People have listened to our podcast and know where all this is going. But yeah, like this is lined up for me. This sounds so boring, and I'm sorry, it's too analytical for its own good, this take. There's an easy six-man that can headline all those non-televised events that John Cena is going to work. And that's surely a perfect way for Cena to shake off the rust before SummerSlam.
Yeah, to be honest, at the speed we get rematches, and we'll talk about one of them in a second, I was kind of hoping that, what are we, like 4 or 5 weeks away from SummerSlam? Oh, get the SmackDown Tag Team title rematch out of the way so we can have the turn and then we can have the match at SummerSlam, the callback and Eddie Guerrero, Dominic, all that bollocks sort of thing.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Still can't get over the tribute to Slapjack they played, to be honest, on the kickoff show. What that weird vortex was. It was should have been a clue as to where that match was going. But yes.
I just assumed they'd go down the route of giving him a Creed Desire video, like My Sacrifice, with all of his best moments. But they came with something different instead. Oh, fair play.
I mentioned rematches there because we are getting, inexplicably, a SmackDown Women's Championship rematch. Carmella has been on social media saying, "Oh, you cheated," presumably because Bianca used her hair, I think is the justification. This is coming from one of my favorite festivals, the Rolling Loud Music Festival. It's a weird one, this. I was reading into this. So they've got a show going on normally, but then it's also a bit like old school WrestleMania where they're like, and also over here we've got Big E versus Apollo Crews and Bianca Belair versus Carmella again, which I suppose, to be fair, it's a title match, it's got Bianca Belair in it, it'll still be mint, it's just kind of pointless and we all know the outcome.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that I'm into like the idea of this, Like, I'm not sure how the visual will play out. I think it's going to be like a unique viewing experience, and I'm not against those. Although actually, considering that for the last 17 months, having the standard viewing experience back has been quite nice. Maybe I don't want to like tempt fate there. And like, now they're wrestling in a bin with a crowd. But it's funny that with this festival that they've got going alongside wrestling, the matches that are going to feature are the most like SmackDown rematches that ever SmackDown rematched in 2021. Big E and Apollo Crews, and like last week's women's title match. Carmella's done pretty well out of things this year. She qualified for Money in the Bank that she never worked in by losing twice to Liv Morgan.
Yep.
Smart. Smart. That's S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T. Smart. and now she gets a rematch for a title that she lost cleanly last week. She's got this game figured out. If you're going to exist in WWE, understand that there are no rules. And it is pointless climbing ladders. Well, one. Just lose a title match. Think about it. Don't put yourself through the punishment that all those other women went through on Sunday. Just get beat on the Friday before. She's played a blinder. Bianca Belair wins comfortably. Big E wins comfortably. Let's talk about her mate in a minute and how nice that was. But like, all very run-of-the-mill, easygoing stuff for this week. And I tell you what as well, I'll give them this pass. Bianca Belair polishes off Carmella this week because it's an easy match to give to a unique visual set of circumstances at the festival. And then she's back next week. And then we can get back to business. And we know what business is, don't we? We know what pay-per-view is coming up. And there is time with, what, like 4 weeks to go till SummerSlam next week?
Something like
four
that,
yeah. Lovely weeks for Sasha Banks to return with Carmella and seemingly any other threat dealt with.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I have no idea. I probably should have done more research, if I'm honest. I've no idea what this rolling loud music festival is going to look like. I'm picturing a bit like NXT UK. Was it Download they used to do it?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I assume it's that, but on a bigger and probably less muddier scale. I was going to ask you, do you think tonight is when Sasha Banks returns? Is it 1, 2, 3, hold the title aloft, and then you're at a festival, so you've got a nice bit of open air to hit some big bloody pyros and some dramatic return? Or do they sit on that and maybe, yeah, save that for next week for a title celebration? Also, I like the idea that potentially that we could be going into this. Remember when they were like, Shawn Michaels, you can't use sweet chin music? And it was like, what's he going to do? Oh, Bianca Belair, you can't use your hair. Okay, I'll just use my power moves in the KOD. That's
yeah, it's fine.
It's just a little addition. It doesn't really change the match in my favour. It just sort of leaves a nice mark, basically. It makes a lovely noise. But yeah, do you reckon Sasha could return tonight?
They could. Had it been still in the middle of the pandemic, and by the way, how funny would it have been if they were running a music festival while still having to run the rest of SmackDown from the Thunderdome? But like, if it was still in the middle of the pandemic, I would have said almost definitely, because you've got some sort of like replay value, I guess, to the scene. But they have already shown the benefits of surprises and huge pops in front of these buildings that their paying customers have bought tickets to, these paying customers that really need to be rewarded for their choice, paying customers that WWE will lose if they don't give them this great time, if they don't put smiles on faces. So if I'm Vince McMahon, and thank goodness I'm not, I'm saving Sasha Banks for my building on another time in front of my crowd, not somebody else's. Again, who knows? They might like, we can't yet say what that rolling loud thing will look like. Maybe the wrestlers will look like rock stars and it'd be wasteful to not have something of note happen. I seem to recall at one of them NXT UK Download things, did Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne not have a fight in the middle of one of the bands playing live?
Possibly.
I'm sure we did like a sent on or a dive off the stage or something onto Pete Dunne in the crowd full of people in the mosh pit. If the visuals allow for it, great. But I would just think you finally got paying customers back. Actually give them value for money and have Sasha Banks be yet another surprise pop, a John Cena pop or an Edge pop.
That would be the best WWE thing ever. You stupid idiots. You bought tickets for SmackDown. You should have gone to the Rolling Loud music. Surprises.
You mugs.
Well, you mentioned Big E versus Apollo Crews. It's a thing. It's official, as you said. It's pointless. But I still, and I hope I never tire of this, I still enjoy in my notes for this, writing Big E versus whoever, and underneath, writing Mr. Money in the Bank. It still doesn't feel real.
Yeah, it's great, this man. Apollo Crews, the Intercontinental Champion, if you'd forgotten, will be losing tonight to Big E in a match that, gotta be honest, I'm not that fussed about, but then how could you be? They've wrestled 86 times. The fact that Big E has that briefcase is what's going to count. Now, it's not something I don't think I need hitting over the head with as relates to Roman Reigns and John Cena. I don't need right now. Big E's a babyface, and babyface, it's always really hard when a babyface has a briefcase because the very nature of a cash-in is kind of a heelish move, isn't it? Mm. CM Punk back in the day, of course, turned heel with a cash-in. His one on Jeff Hardy was like so unnecessarily cruel that it ultimately facilitated a heel turn. So you have to be really careful how you do this, how you book it. But what that briefcase does represent, as you pointed out with merely typing the words out next to his name, is it represents joy and it represents hope and optimism, because this is the guy that should have had this opportunity or this golden ticket or this free pass a long, long time ago. So this overdue thing that has actually happened feels like something to celebrate. That response that he got on Sunday was legitimately emotional. Like, you know, the building, you could tell, felt it, as we all did at home for Big E getting this. Just luxuriating that. Have Big E come out and hold that briefcase up like it's already the title.
Mm.
Make it feel like, in a world that Roman Reigns holds in the palm of his hand and crushes very tightly in that gold-gloved hand, have Big E be this shining light that can save the show and hold that briefcase up, and not to say, I'm watching you, Roman, I'm watching you, John, just to say, there are better days ahead and it's going to be on my back. He's that kind of babyface. Just, yeah, really luxuriating it. The fact that he's not going to be in the building is super helpful because he's not going to form part of the conversation this week. It's not like a Nikki Ash thing over on Raw where they've done it now, like they've had a cash in. Money in the Bank is a thing. Money is a bank. Money in the Bank is live. You know, somebody can do this at any moment. He can't tonight, and let that be a benefit to the character and continuing on the party atmosphere around Big E winning.
Yeah, it's been, I was just thinking there as you were talking, it's been a long time since I've been like, oh my God, is it going to be a cash-in tonight? Like, the women's one goes within a day, it seems, unless your name's Carmella. And in terms of the men's one, like, no one was like, we talked about it, we speculate on it, of course, but I think a lot of us were like, yeah, we have to suggest it, but it's probably not going to happen that Otis is going to cash in on the world champion. And then when it was The Miz, it was like, Whereas now, it's like you say, this electric anticipation for it all. I want to suggest something. I will caveat it by saying the Delta variant makes me anxious about suggesting this. But I just love the idea, regardless of the result. I could not care less. This is a show that I don't have to review. I'm off for Monday and Tuesday, so that's me just hospital passing you and Michael Sidgwick there. So in terms of skipping stuff, I'll probably skip the Big E and Apollo Crews match, just go straight to the finish, because I think whatever the result, who cares? It's probably going to be some shenanigans in there and it's probably not going to go to a result. I want to see Big E crowd surf, please, with the briefcase.
Ah, that'd be lovely. Yeah, like more crowds, more joy again, if it's in some case complete, it's like strangers to pro wrestling, but see a guy like Big E, it's impossible not to fall in love with. So yeah, like I'm absolutely on board with the crowd surfing visual and just the idea that while Roman Reigns find himself under the cosh with John Cena, there's a far bigger threat having the time of his life elsewhere.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, we've got a big debut to look forward to as well tonight on SmackDown. Toni Storm arrives, and she's a phenomenal addition to this SmackDown women's roster, isn't she?
Yeah, WWE have, at very least, ahead of crowds coming back, listened to the criticisms of the SmackDown women's division. I was tempted to say listen to our podcast, but we know that's already the case. But there was criticisms everywhere about the SmackDown women's division. It was a laughable state of affairs, not least after the most recent batch of releases that I believe left us with was there something like when we were working out the Money in the Bank competitors?
Yeah,
it had to be these people because literally nobody else could do it. I think we had Bayley and Bianca Belair tied up, and then everybody else was pretty much, well, yeah, you've got to be in the match because we haven't got anybody else unless Sonya Deville puts the gear back on. We're stuck. They've addressed that with, in a very WWE way, Knox, Shotzi, Toni Storm, get here. And they just pulled them out of the storylines that they were in on NXT.
Has Naomi brought been them moved over there as well? Did I read that?
Naomi has been moved over there as well. Just a content dump on SmackDown. But I don't want that term to sound derisory because they're four really great additions to the show. They should offer plenty. And they obviously, most importantly, they present the veneer of a women's division, even if there isn't one. Toni Storm is tremendous. She was just finding her feet as a heel on NXT when this call-up happened. But the video package last week makes me believe that she's going to be a babyface. They're going to just ignore like the last couple of months of television on NXT and bring her in as a face. That's not maybe the worst thing. She was a really, really cool babyface. She got over very quickly in the short burst she had with the likes of the Mae Young Classic win on NXT as a face, what feels like a million years ago now in 2019. Yeah, I expect a strong win for her against, you know, your local competitor type. It'd be foolish of them to waste somebody from the division when you kind of need to start pairing these wrestlers off into feuds. Keep it strong, keep it dominant, and get her over with this new audience.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you regarding who she should face. Because like you say, you've got Shotzi and Knox. Shotzi and Knox! And you're too... They are swirling around the SmackDown women's, just general women's tag team title.
Knox and Shotzi, give me a reason.
Oh, that's my weekend. I'm going to plan the new...
That's going to be a thing, isn't it? I can feel that already. The syllables,
yeah, that was the old one. Shotzi Blackheart. You give tanks a bad name. No, Shotzi and Knox are doing stuff around the tag title picture. They beat Natalya and Tamina last week to suggest that we are going to get a tag title match, women's tag title match at SummerSlam. Yes, please switch the titles onto them, to be honest, for me. And Natalya was someone a bit, not to besmirch him too much, but a bit like a Dolph Ziggler, who you can go, oh, there you go, first feud for you, nice and easy, just sort of re-establish yourself. But Natalya and Tamina are busy. I looked across the rest of the roster, and I was like, well, you don't want to put up with Zelina Vega yet. Sasha Banks, we've already talked about her. On the roster itself, you've got Paige and Maryse. That ain't happening. Liv Morgan, no. Hey, Kayla! I'd love to see Kayla Braxton in the wrestling ring, but that's not going to happen either. Carmella, Bayley, and that's about it. You're not going to put her with Naomi yet. So, yeah, absolutely. Just straightforward squash match is absolutely the way to go forward with that one.
When obviously Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox can't coexist and they have to split up because that's what happens to every team. Mm-hmm. You can say this because fundamentally I hate this song and only want to do this because we're in this kind of mood today on a Friday morning, but you can say it ahead of their feud when we're previewing it on a pay-per-view, Shotzi used to team up with Knox. And then you can go on and you can do the whole song off the back of that. Write that one down. Keep that.
We had a return, let's not forget, last week. Finn Balor is back on SmackDown. Great to see him on there. What next for him? Please tell me it's just building to a show-stealing match at SummerSlam with Sami Zayn. Because, yes, please, even though Sami Zayn just got handed his arse last week.
Yeah, like, why not? Just why not? I could be the type that reads too much into things here. But last week when Finn Balor came back, did you notice that he did the hands thing twice instead of hands, guns that became the staple of the Prince when he was in NXT. And not to say, Wilborn, this week, that what you're doing in NXT hasn't mattered when you've been on the main roster. But if I could divert your attention to a 100-second match on Monday Night Raw, it may be that Vince McMahon doesn't care what you're doing in NXT.
Bit of a tangent here, but did you hear what happened at the NXT tapings?
Are we okay to talk about this on a podcast where people haven't tuned in for potential NXT spoilers?
Yeah, come on.
Is this the thing? Is this the thing that?
If you're going to be like, what? I didn't realise that's the direction they're going in. You've not been paying attention. But
is this the thing that I think you're thinking about maybe what the crowd did rather than what the booking did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Generally, the go-home angle ahead of TakeOver. I'll not say who with. There we go. Yeah, Karrion Kross was there confronting his opponent. Who could that be? And deafening Hardy chants. So they had to reshoot the entire segment.
Look, so we tiptoe around these spoilers. Like, I love that even the NXT fans were chanting Jeff Hardy. I don't want to say anything else about the TakeOver main event. Go and look for the results if you want. We're not that podcast. All I'll say is I think Ikem and Jiro is going to get it done. Karrion Kross, your days are numbered.
But yeah,
Straight jacket suplex. Karrion Kross. Yeah, sorry, Finn Balor. That's my fault.
It feels like a straightforward open goal of like, here you go, have a mint match to come back and beat Sami Zayn because, despite how I feel about him, WWE aren't arsed, are they?
We've been here before, Wilborn. I can give you an A or B, and we both know it's going to be C. Mm-hmm. A, yes, they used what happened last week for Sami Zayn to go conspiracy mad. And say, well, how was I to know Finn Balor was coming back? This is a joke. And we get a SummerSlam match. B, Sami Zayn to cut that insane promo and them to have that match on this very episode of SmackDown. C, both. Finn Balor beat him clean tonight. And then WWE says, and then next week, in a fury, Sami Zayn beats him down to build to the SummerSlam match they've already had.
Yeah, definitely. Now let's talk about a feud that is white hot and heading to SummerSlam. I'm talking, of course, of Otis and Cesaro. No, sorry, Seth Rollins. And I like Otis and Cesaro, by the way. We need to mention it. Otis beat down Cesaro. Fine. Just don't have Cesaro lose anymore. But then it's the Afro Academy, so I've got mixed emotions. Doesn't matter. Let's talk instead about Seth Rollins and Edge. Because, yeah, Edge completely justified in being quite a bit pissed off with Seth Rollins, who, to use a phrase of my parents, threw a paddy after not winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, a bit predictable, but predictable isn't always bad. And that was definitely the case here. They sowed all the seeds for this SummerSlam match, and then they gave you something at the pay-per-view that firmed up the direction, ultimately. I thought it was pretty nicely done, all things considered. I quite like the brawl they had after Edge was screwed, obviously. Rollins, driven to it by his Money in the Bank loss, will pretend that it's nothing to do with the tensions that were building before the match. You know, the backstage little chats they were having, the reminders of the 2014 briefcase curb stomp and all that. He'll just say, oh, I was just really angry off the back of Money in the Bank. Edge, it was never your place to begin with. It was never your spot. I shouldn't have had to lose that match. I should have been straight in with Roman. I don't mind it, mate. Like, I think they've done an all right job with this. And something tells me this week they're going to try and have Seth Rollins almost no-sell it. They'd be wise to like hold off Edge being the first one to comment, you know? Have Seth Rollins come out and say, look, I know people saw what happened on Sunday and I just want to address the elephant in the room right now. Yes, I was screwed at Money in the Bank, but onwards and upwards, I'm heading for the Universal title as soon as I can get my shot and just make it seem like Edge was merely like a peripheral, a bit of like value-added damage to his bad night on Sunday. And then Edge being like, are you kidding, pal? I'm going to kill you. Fucking mug. And then that'd be the sort of, that'd be what drives it from here.
Yeah, I've got my WWE head on and I'm trying to balance the two sides. And what I mean by that is I could really easily see them doing Edge storming out going, Seth, get your ass out of here. I'm going to kill you sort of thing. And Postman Pierce getting beaten up and suspending Edge. But crowds have just come back. It's Edge. And you're not going to take him off TV on the build towards your second biggest pay-per-view or possibly even your biggest pay-per-view of this year. Maybe Seth interrupts Cena. Maybe, you know, Roman Before that all happens, or maybe they just chuck it all in a big melting pot, Seth interrupts Cena and says, sorry, you can't just come in and I'm next. I said, I've got next. Whatever happens, I've got next. I know I've not got the briefcase, but I've got next. And then Edge comes out and something happens with him that way, perhaps.
Jesus Christ. I've just thought of them promoting a SmackDown main event of Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus John Cena and Edge.
Oh!
Good Lord. Go home SmackDown, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, my God. Or the main event of the Rolling Loud Music Festival. Just the thought. But, yeah, this
maybe
is...
Maybe Cena's going to get there. They'll do, like, a Jericho gimmick where he's, like, he opens the show at SmackDown and they helicopter him over to Rolling Loud.
This is... Like, they're going to have to try hard, really hard, and even WWE, especially on the blue brand, won't be able to do this. They're going to have to try really hard to screw up this in the next 5 weeks.
I think so. It's not that long, 5 weeks, is it? They can do it, but I really hope they don't. I think this is nicely placed. Live crowds love Edge, and that's brilliant. That's awesome. He's going down far better here than he was in the, like, Thunderdome stuff. They'll hate Seth Rollins and resent him just for being Seth Rollins. Like, the noise will help this program exponentially. I hope it doesn't get bogged down in stupid, like, overloaded scripted dialogue.
Yeah, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more SmackDowns after this before SummerSlam, I think, he says, glancing at his calendar. But yeah, it's Seth Rollins versus Edge. You can almost not do anything. You can almost say, it's official. See you on the 21st.
Yeah.
Because it's Seth Rollins versus Edge. Honestly, we talked about it before. We did a podcast all about this being the best SummerSlam ever. But, like, Goldberg, Lashley, Roman, Cena, Sasha versus Bianca 2, Seth Rollins versus Edge, Big E hanging over all this. Like,
Drew versus Jinder.
Drew, yeah. Main event. I was getting there.
Really
exciting to be a fan of WWE right now. Be a fan of wrestling, to be fair. I sort of negged them a bit, but let's talk about Otis and Cesaro, because it's clearly a direction they're going in next. And we talk about this often with other promotions, let's just say, about neither of them can afford to lose. But the Alpha Academy are on a bit of a roll. Cesaro's gone on a bit of a downturn. This feels like a position they're going to hold him in. But, I mean, it strikes me that what they should, and I hope that they are doing, is going, right, how do we get to Cesaro doing something mad and defying gravity with Otis at SummerSlam? Right, let's work backwards from there, sort of thing. And if on the way we get Chad Gable versus Cesaro to keep us entertained, yes, please.
Yeah. All of that, basically, yeah. It's like, it's not great, this, but it's not bad either. There is an interesting dynamic between Cesaro and Otis based on this new Otis character and if Cesaro can swing him. You know, they're trying to present... Yeah, Otis is, at the moment, they're aiming for you to feel about him like you would have done once upon a time about Earthquake or Vader or, yeah, you know, like... monster heels that are using their ginormous frames to destroy people. It might take a while. It's a big... wheel to turn from the days of, like, dancing, hairy, steak-loving Otis. But it's not silly, won't get there. And Cesaro could really help that. I think seeing that he's pretty much got nothing else to do, you could drag Nakamura into this and reunite Cesaro and Nakamura for a few tag matches against the Alpha Academy. Mm. If you want to build a singles match between Cesaro and Otis, if you want to get something more out of Nakamura in the singles with Chad Gable.
And you can do, like, he's doing the swing with Gable, let's say, because he's just easier to swing. And as he's doing that, Boogs is doing the spinning hand motion in sync with all that.
Just smashing the wah-wah stick. Wow, wow, over and over again. Yeah, like, it's something to do for all of them. And I'd rather, like, I don't know how long this is going to last, but better they have some direction than just be thrown out there to work these idle mid-card matches every week. I would much rather... What people forget, I guess, because there's no jobbers anymore, is that television used to operate with a lot of your favourite wrestlers coming out and squashing a guy in 3 minutes and that being their entire contribution to the week. Mm. We can't have that anymore, unfortunately. But if you're going to put, and I use this term loosely, a star against another star, at least give them the semblance of a story to work with while you're doing it.
This is in my head because I was talking about it with Sid just yesterday. on our Vince McMahon podcast. Go and check it out because it is jaw-dropping, the stuff.
Was there something about Vince's middle fingers on that one? I listened to all our podcasts. I haven't listened to that one yet. But was there something about how Vince flips the bird weird? Because somebody who I don't want to mention, he's very much, to be honest, our most notable troll on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give him the time of day. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Five Lawton, if anything, because he has to deal with his trolling more than most. Rat Mains. He's a rat, whatever his name is. Anyway, something about, like, he tweeted a picture of middle fingers, and of course he directed some disdain at me because I need to get the local authorities involved. And he mentioned the different shapes of how people flip the bird. And I immediately thought of Vince's weird one and Cody's thumb out monstrosity that he does when he's standing with, like, why do they do it, man? Is it a wealth thing? Is it so used to holding cash in their hands that they can't ball their fists together anymore?
Yeah. We did talk about that, and it was around Vince flipping off British Bulldog and telling him F you, basically, when they were
And where's my title shot?
It relates to that. Because what if at SummerSlam, obviously, UFO to Otis, Cesaro gets the victory, post-match, Chad Gable's furious, throws a bin at Otis's head, and then and we get the old Otis back, because that's all we really want in the long run. And if that's what it takes to get there you go, SmackDown writers, we've done it for you.
Why can we not go back to the 1999 bin being the answer to every WWE creative problem? Like, just throw the bin at the Fiend. It's just like, oh, he's not the burned girl anymore. Why we throw a bin at him? Throw it at Alexa. She's just back to normal. Throw it at Otis. Throw it at Roman. Just like, sorry, everybody, about all that. And he just puts the flat jacket back on.
Sovereign Socrates. Sorry about that, guys. let's conclude, as we have often done over the last few weeks, talking about Sam Corbin. His bad luck continues. Last week, they launched Corbin Fund, or Corbin Fund Me. I've gone on CorbinFund.com. Don't worry, it isn't WWE actually taking money from fans in that respect. It is literally just a picture. It says Baron Corbin Fund, targeted goal $100,000. You'll be lucky. But it says, due to financial difficulties, this page is currently under construction. Well played, WWE, to be fair. However, Baron Corbin finds strength in the ongoing support and prayers from the WWE universe and looks forward to your donation soon. He was shilling for cameos, I think, before Money in the Bank. And yeah, more bad luck this week. Any suggestions, Michael Hamplett, for the banter they can have with this?
You joke about them not actually taking donations, right? I've been sent an image this week a lot, and I love everybody that sent it to me because I love looking at it every time. Have you seen it? It's of a new action figure playset, and it's a new generation themed one. It's got the gorgeous neon entrance door. It's got a blue ring with the red, white, and blue WWF logos across the side of the apron. Mm. What's the figure they've chosen for this? It's Diesel. So he's in the ring. The whole set looks great. Catnip for, like, people. I don't collect the figures and toys, but, like, if I did, I love the era. So it's catnip for people like me and people that buy the figures. And I got sent this a lot, and it's like, it was lovely. And then people that were looking closer spotted a certain detail. The reason this picture is out there is because WWE and Mattel are crowdfunding this.
What?
They are showing you a prototype that if enough people donate their hard-earned...
Oh, I've just seen
Mattel,
it. Looks lovely. Oh.
It's amazing. But Mattel and WWE, those little mom-and-pop shops, are going to use that. Can they use that crowdfunded money to make it? So you joke about this Baron Corbin thing. I think we're a week away from a legit form going online to take the cash from your pocket.
Sorry. The rollout also includes Mattel's first ever WWE crowdfund campaign hosted on Mattel Creations, which will require 5,000 backers to unlock three first ever offerings for 250. Sorry. Excuse me.
It's abhorrent, isn't it? Like, because that's what you do, right? You've just lived the exact same thing I do. Oh, look at, oh, wow, I do like the look of that. You fucking what, pal? Like, it's just such a sad experience that I resent the toy more than I resent Jinder's smash him up bike or whatever the latest release for that was. But the idea that they were trying to squeeze more money off their loyalist fans, because it looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, I've just got distracted because I've just read, presumably because of what I've Googled with Diesel toy, etc., that Vin Diesel's making Rock'em Sock'em Robots into a movie.
Great. That's basically what the Survivor Series is, isn't it? You got a blue one, you got a red one, they're fighting, nobody knows why. Boom, 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 boom. Over.
I don't got Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I got family. There you go. little prediction.
Vin Diesel's there with the blue robot. And he just like sees the red robot punching furiously. We're under siege.
Didn't they do this film already with Huge Jackman? Wasn't that a big robot boxing thing?
Maybe, but they haven't used the brand. Vin Diesel's like paid for the rights to Rock'em Sock'em so he can get that sweet trademark. What's like, this is so stupid. Marvel, sorry to all the Marvel fans. Those films are made to make more money. You know, like you get 10 sequels, you get merchandise, etc. You can't do it backwards. Like, what's Vin Diesel thinking? Man, can't wait to merchandise the Rock'em Sock'em robot. Vin, got a bit of a problem there, but the toys existed for 100 million years. Wait, what?
Yeah, it was a toy first.
This summer.
Come on, lawyer on the phone.
Dwayne Johnson, Vin Diesel, Hungry Hungry Hippos, the movie. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, SmackDown. My pitch for this week is Corbin's has to sell his gear, obviously, and he has to come out in the lost property or, yeah, obviously he's got to borrow some gear after a tiny wrestler.
LTST, he has to wear Shorty G's Space Jam gear.
Oh!
And it's like too small for him. And like Chad's there. What goes around comes around, happy.
WWE, just when I think you can't get any dumber, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself. Oh, I'll tell you what.
Baron Corbin in Shorty G gear, because those are the hard times he's fallen on.
Make it happen, WWE. I don't care if it goes down at Rolling Loud or at SmackDown. I need to see it tonight. Tell you what, wrestling is bloody brilliant right now, isn't it? Let's go ahead of SmackDown this evening, though, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. You can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including, not my problem, the SmackDown review with the Dudley Boys on Monday, of course. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamblin. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.